Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
All right, this is Nick Scherfield, HoustonTexans.com, here with Matt Maiocco from the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat. Matt, we appreciate you joining us today. We got to talk about Michael Crabtree in a second, of course.
But let's talk about the team as a whole first. The 49ers looked really impressive through their first four games. They were a Brett Favre Hail Mary pass away from being undefeated at 4-0. And then they just got beat 45-10 by the Atlanta Falcons. What went wrong in that game, and what do you think the 49ers worked on during the bye week?
Well, you know, you're right. The first four games, there was a lot of optimism here, and probably the best game they played was the game you did mention against the Vikings, where they actually lost, because they caught some teams that aren't very good. In the case of Seattle, they were banged up. Of course, the Rams are one of the worst teams in the league. They did have a good win at Arizona. They were a little bit banged up, too. So what they went into that Falcons game expecting to put together a good performance, and things just fell flat for them. They didn't get anything going offensively. Defensively, they've been able to get pretty good pass rush, which was a concern coming into the season. The pass rush wasn't there. That left the secondary vulnerable, and they got some bad breaks along the way, and the next thing you know, they had the worst home loss they've had in a long, long time.
Well, how do you think, after the way they played against the Falcons, how do you expect them to try to stop Matt Schaub in this passing attack that's really firing on all cylinders?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they have to get pass rush on him. Whether it's scheming it up, winning one-on-one battles, they have to be able to put pressure on Matt Schaub, because I think with Andre Johnson, his speed, I'm not sure the 49ers have anybody in the secondary that can run with him. So you got to look at from the outside linebackers. You got to look for Paris Harrelson and Manny Lawson to come off the edges. They might try sending Patrick Willis on a few more blitzes up the middle. Patrick Willis right now is leading the team with 2.5 sacks. They just need to find a way. They don't have what I would consider a top flight, one-on-one pass rusher who you can just pencil in for double-digit sacks during the course of the season. So they're going to have to find a way to scheme it up. And with the bye week, I would imagine defensive coordinator Greg Minuski has really looked at the Texans and tried to find their vulnerabilities in pass protection, and they'll try to exploit those on Sunday.
Before we go any further, let's talk about Michael Crabtree, the rookie who was a holdout until just very recently here. And now, words coming from your paper and from other media outlets out there that he might be starting this week. What can we expect from him?
Well, I think what's going to happen is, he will, if he doesn't start, he will still see a lot of playing time. They like him a lot. I mean, obviously, they took him number 10 in the draft. They thought that he was going to be long gone by the time it was the 49ers' turn to pick. They were surprised he was there. When they got him on the practice field, he just jumped out at them that, this guy is all that. This is the reason we took him at number 10. He's one of our best players. There's no reason to send any sort of message like you missed training camp. We're going to punish you. They think he can help them immediately, and so that's what they're doing. They're going to put him out on the field. I think they feel like he's one of the few guys that can take a short pass and turn it into a long game. So, we'll see how much exactly he plays. I think a lot will depend on early in the game if he's able to, get all the assignments down pat. But Michael Crabtree will be in a uniform for the first time playing an NFL game on Sunday, and they want him to make an immediate contribution.
Yeah, he's a guy, obviously, folks from around here are familiar with him having played at Texas Tech and being from Dallas. And Coach Gary Kubiak compared him to Andre Johnson yesterday, as a matter of fact. But how limited do you think he'll be in what he can do because he's only been around the team for a couple of weeks now after missing everything else?
I don't think he'll be as limited as you might think, because he's going to be playing in two wide receiver situations and three wide receiver situations. There's going to be a package for him, a limited package. It's not like he has to learn the entire offense, everything that was installed over the course of 71 days. He doesn't have to learn all that. All he has to learn is the game plan, which, boils down to probably about 50 pass plays. And he has to learn, his assignments and the packages that he's going to be used in. So I think that, they're going to put him out there and they're going to dial up plays that he's familiar with and that he's shown that he's familiar with by how he performs on the practice field you know, this week.
Matt, what's the latest on the two running backs there, Frank Gore and Glenn Coffey, who both had some injury issues in the last couple of weeks?
Frank Gore missed the past two games, and he only played, you know, basically one running play the other game before that. That was a Vikings game back in week three. So he's practicing. He's going full bore on practice. He says he's healthy, you know, with an ankle. You just don't know, you know, maybe he's healthy enough to play, but, you know, once you get out there at game speed and you start cutting, we'll see how much it affects him. He's planning on starting and playing. Glenn Coffey is fine. The bye week, he had a little bit of an ankle nick the week before late in the game, but he returned in that game. He's fine. So, you know, this will be the first time the 49ers will be full strength, or at least I hope they'll be full strength, at running back since week two.
Another thing, just a couple more questions before we get to your prediction on the game here. A big story down here this week, obviously, is Mike Singletary coming back to Houston, where he's from. How much of an imprint do you see his personality from what he was as a player on this 49ers team?
Well, I think it's very consistent. You know, the way he was as a player is pretty much the way he is as a coach. He's a very straightforward man. He's physical, smash mouth. There aren't a whole lot of, you know, mysteries about him. And that's the image that he's trying to create with this 49ers team. They had a very physical training camp. You know, they did not shy away from hitting. They were in pads an awful lot. And I think that's what he's tried to sort of project on this team, is making this a physical, smash mouth team. I mean, he talks about the most important people in the building being, you know, not himself, not the quarterback, not Frank Gore, but the five offensive linemen. So that tells you right there that they want to run the ball. They want to be a lot like those Bears of the mid-'80s, where, you know, they went in with defense and a running game. So I think what you're seeing and what you're going to see with the 49ers is exactly what Mike Singletary is. I mean, that's what he was as a player, and that's what he is as a coach.
Singletary, a Hall of Fame linebacker, of course, and he's got a pretty good one, you might say, in Patrick Willis there. What makes Willis such a good player?
You know what I think makes him such a great player is that he has all of the skills, just the off-the-chart physical attributes to go along with a blue-collar mentality. So he has, you know, all the flash and splash that you would want as far as from the skill set. But he is such a humble, hardworking, likable kid that just does not take any shortcuts. And I think, you know, that's why he came in, you know, originally as a you know, first round draft pick, and immediately won over the veterans, just because there's no BS about him. You know, he's just a football player, and he loves to play the game, and he plays awfully hard. And I think that shows up. And he's never satisfied. I remember when he was named to the Pro Bowl his very first year in the league, you know, when we talked to him after he was named to the Pro Bowl, his whole thing was, yeah, this is great, but I haven't arrived yet. I want to keep going to the Pro Bowl, and I want to be a lot better player next year than I am now. And that's the mentality he has in year three, too, that, you know, he's made the Pro Bowl 2 years in a row. He wants to be a better player now than he was his first 2 years, and he is. I mean, he's doing it all, and he's a big part of this team.
Yeah, he's a guy that's certainly been very similar to the Texans' star middle linebacker, D'Amico Ryan, so far. It should be something great to watch those two guys this week. But, Matt, before we let you go, how do you think the game's going to play out? And if you had to give a prediction for the score, what would it be?
Oh, boy, you just had to do this to me. I don't like making predictions at all. But, I mean, if I look at this game and look at it objectively, I think the fact that the Texans are starting to click on all cylinders offensively certainly bodes well for them. The 49ers are coming off a big loss. You know, there are a lot of question marks about their offense. They haven't scored more than two touchdowns offensively in a game this season. I look at the point spread, about 3 points, and, you know, the people in Vegas didn't really know what they're talking about. If I were to make a prediction on this game, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to come down to the final, you know, 4 or 5 minutes of the game. My prediction, I suppose, would be something along the lines of 21-17. Do I have to give a win or two?
winner, absolutely.
Man, 21-17. I would think, you know, just because they're at home, I think these are pretty well-matched teams. But I think the fact that the Texans are home gives them the slight edge. So let's go 21-17 Texans.
All right, we weren't going to let you off the hook that easy. we appreciate it. Well, Matt, thanks a lot. You do great work in your blog for the Press Democrat, and we appreciate your time.
Nick, thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on your podcast.